Okay, what if it wasn't called We're No Experts? What would the other name of the podcast be? Which is We're No Experts, by the way, episode 8.
Well, we did for a minute throw out, I threw out low-hanging fruit. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that got nixed by you.
I think it was Taken.
Was it?
I think so.
Oh.
And I was thinking of Jawjacking, but that wasn't, I don't know, something about that just doesn't sound that great.
Yeah.
I think
it sounds like you're getting punched in the face.
Maybe, but you never heard it like just bullshitting referred to as Jawjacking.
Yeah, that makes sense too, either way.
But no, We're No Experts I think is good because it's humble. You know? Jawjacking's kinda humble too, because it implies that you're not really talking about anything that means anything. But and low hanging fruit does that too, right?
While we tend to go for the low hanging fruit on the show quite a bit, I think that the We're No Experts moniker works well for us because we can always fall back on that and be like, eh, I'm no expert, or we're no experts.
You know? Yeah, it's an easy out because if you're new to the show, this podcast is about talking about things that I, Jonathan Hamilton,
and I, Jim Martin,
aren't experts on. In other words, stuff that maybe we're curious about or that we find strange and we like to sort of talk our way around it, see where we land on things. And I like to call it an uninformed search for truth.
I like that you call it that.
That's great. there's not an organic way to work that tagline into every intro. Maybe I should like try writing something. I don't know.
Whoa. Damn, that sounds like way too much of a... way too formal. I know. No.
Yeah, this is also... for those of you just now tuning into us, the most low effort podcast you can imagine. Well, we do.
We're like, no experts in podcasting.
That's definitely true. We do no editing. We have no production values.
Yeah, we have a laptop and a condenser microphone sitting in front of us in Jonathan's dining area.
Yes.
So you'll hear echoes probably a little bit. Hopefully, I didn't just point that out to no one that didn't notice it before. But I think we've gotten better with our sound production. And there's probably going to be a bird or two in the background.
And I would recommend, if nothing else, that you take from this that you too could start podcasting if you wanted to. Because not only do we not have an interesting hook, we also don't have any professional experience or high-quality production. And if we can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, but come up with your own material.
Yeah.
Certainly, we're no experts is taken.
And try harder than we are. Honestly, it's an easy win. We're the bottom of the list, so you could probably do a much better job much more easily.
I think we're doing a pretty damn good job. Right?
Okay, so but what makes it work is what we talk about. Well, what are we talking about this episode?
We are talking about norms.
Okay, so when you say norms...
Well, there's only two that I could think of, right? And that's Peterson and McDonald.
Okay.
So that it could be a short episode.
Yeah, so I know Norm Peterson, of course, is a fictional character portrayed by George Wendt on the American TV sitcom Cheers. Classic American sitcom Cheers.
Yep, that's where you want to go because everybody knows your name.
That's right. Whereas Norm MacDonald is a comedian and comic actor known for his work on Saturday Night Live.
Probably most for that. And was he also... No.
Some Hardee's commercials, maybe?
I'm trying to place him, but I think I'm getting him confused with a different Saturday Night Live in my head. Who hosted Monday Night Football for a while?
How would I know?
Yeah, because it was a different...
No, it was Dennis Miller.
Yeah, shit. He was on Saturday Night Live, too, though, right?
Was he? Was Dennis Miller on Saturday Night Live? Right in.
He's a comedian, right?
Mailbag at noexpertspodcast.com or tweet us at noexpertspod. If you know whether Dennis Miller was on Saturday Night Live.
You should have at least, when I left the door open, been like, are you talking about John Madden? Something like that, right? I mean, I basically teed it up for you.
Mixing a metaphor there with the Monday Night Football and teeing up.
Well, I guess that works with the punt, you know, or the kickoff, teeing up the ball for the kickoff. But I generally assume that...
Wait, do they call that teeing off?
Well, you do put the ball on a tee.
When the kicker kicks it.
Yeah, but I think teeing it up is more... Is it golf?
It's golf, right?
Yeah. But you have to... Well, okay, so teeing it up makes it easier to hit. Like, if you were in the rough or even in the fairway, you could tee it up and hit it further or crush it.
Yeah.
But, okay. Because teeing that up in like baseball, like on a tee, like a tee ball tee, would also give you a huge advantage. Listen to this. This wasn't a completely unplanned idiom.
And it has nothing to do with norms. Where I'm struggling with this is you're saying that you teed it up for me, right? But a golfer, more often than not, is setting his own tee and placing his own ball on the tee, right?
You know what? You're probably right. I did caddy for a while, by the way, when I was young. And it was nothing like a professional caddy, by the way, right? Or at least I sucked at it. Let's get that out of the way. So I never tee up anybody's ball for them, and I think it would have been weird if they would have asked for that.
Okay.
So I'm guessing based upon my one season of being a caddy, that it would be weird for. Although you don't really ever see, or maybe you do, and I just don't watch much golf. I feel like they never show people teeing up the balls on the tee. Like they just cut to it, and they're already teed up, and the guy's about to, you know, swing, or he's taking his practice swings or whatever.
Yeah. So would you describe it as, teeing up your own ball in golf being the norm? trying to steer this shit around.
Sometimes we do that, and that's okay. If you're new to the show.
When you say we're talking about norms, what exactly does that mean? How are we coming at this?
We're talking more about norms, mores,
conventions,
right? Taboos. Exactly. You got it. All of the above.
Okay. Yeah. So we were supposed to come up with some ideas of what norms we see broken and why, right? And how that makes us feel, and how we might recommend people sort of maybe modify that behavior. What do you do when you see someone breaking a norm?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Okay, so what do you got for us?
Well, you know what made me think about this topic? So back-to-back weeks, I was out to breakfast and sitting outside with my wife at the same place, you know, both Saturday mornings the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
And the place is great, but both times there was somebody sitting at a table fairly close to us, not the same person either time, that was just really loud having a conversation with one other person. And I thought, that's really weird. What are the odds that this happens to me at the same place 2 weeks in a row? Mm-hmm. Again, not the same person though. I don't know. It just seems like that's in violation of a norm, isn't it?
Yeah, the idea that...
I guess it's somewhat social etiquette, but that also falls into...
Well, I mean, that's a norm.
Right. It's like a subcategory of norms.
Right. You generally, if you're out to dinner or something, or breakfast in your case, you're expected to restrict your conversation to your table and other people shouldn't be able to hear it. Generally, you wouldn't want them to hear it probably, right?
Yeah.
Not that it's sensitive or anything, but I don't want people feeling like they can just jump in if I say something interesting.
It was a little weird. And we've all been there before. I don't recall the specifics of it each time.
Okay.
Either way, I was trying not to...
Well, sure. You don't really want to eavesdrop.
Pay too much attention and actually have my own conversation at a reasonable volume.
Sure.
So unfortunately I don't have any other details other than that, but it made me think about that. I'm like, man, that's weird. I think that's content for our show, is that maybe not that specifically, because that would be really short. Hey, is it okay to talk loud in public? And I think we're both going to agree you should probably try not to. However, yeah, welcome to norms, and probably what's just going to be us, you know, bitching about things that people do in public that we don't like,
that annoy us. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about one, and this goes back to a little preview maybe of some upcoming bonus content, what we have called in previous episodes the parking conversation.
Yep.
Right. I've been thinking about these accessible or handicapped parking spots, and if you park in one, you're probably getting a ticket or you're getting towed, right? So there's definitely a downside to it. There is something to discourage you from doing it, because you're going to get a punishment, an inconvenience, right?
Okay.
But like, to me, that is not what is curtailing me from parking in those spaces. What's curtailing me from parking in those spaces is the fact that it's a dick move. Like, I understand, as a compassionate and sympathetic person, that, you know, those spots are there for people who have much more trouble like getting around than I do. And so for me to take the spot that's been set aside for those people, like, how much of a prick do you have to be to do that? And yet you see people do it. You
know, it's the violation of the more, more so than it is the violation of the actual law.
That's right. That's right. And look, I don't know if anyone listening has ever momentarily, I'm only going to be in here for 2 minutes, like parked in the handicapped spot outside the front of a store and run in when you don't have a tag or a genuine need for it. If you've done that, you're a dick. That was a dick move. Don't fucking do that again.
Park in the fucking fire lane, right?
Yeah, if
like a normal person.
Yeah, at least with the fire lane, like you know that the firefighters are going to just bust out your windows and run the hose through your car anyway.
As long as you have your flashers on, you're fine. This is said from observation. So that's there you go, right? Is that, I mean, I'd say the majority of people think that that's not okay, even though...
To park in the fire lane?
And put your flashers on and run to the store.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
But you've seen people do this.
Oh, no? Absolutely.
Okay, right.
I myself have stopped and sat in the car in the fire lane while my wife has gone in to pick something up and, you know, just driven down to the other side to meet her or whatever. Yeah. And the idea there being, I feel like that's more okay because if the fire truck comes, I can move immediately.
I think that that's fine. Personally, I think you're okay hanging out in the fire lane for a second or two if you're not blocking traffic. Because you could always circle around too, right?
Yeah, and I have done that as well.
Yep. Yeah. I tend to go like to park in the back of the lot where I can still see the doors.
Mm.
And then just pull up when, you know.
Yeah, I like
if
that.
If it's a store I don't want to go into.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
It's an okay move.
So a lot of the kind of stuff that I came up with relates to the bathroom. And I don't want to sound like I'm anxious about my use of a shared bathroom space. Because I really don't think I am. But there's a lot of what I feel are unspoken conventions that people ought to follow and shouldn't need to be told, but it seems like maybe they do. And my number one pet peeve, and this is so irrational of me, I apologize in advance, but it's stall pissing. If you are a stall pisser, you are like the lowest form of pisser. Like, why are you... I think I've even said this before. If you have a genuine need to use the stall to urinate, then... fine, like no questions asked. But if you're otherwise able to use the urinal and there's a free urinal and you take up a stall, that's the worst. Someone who needs a stall definitely needs it more than your ass.
Yeah, so let's back up for a second. I assume everybody knows what you're talking about when you say a stall pisser.
No, maybe they don't.
Maybe not. So let's clarify. I think what you mean, and I'm pretty sure I'm right here, is somebody that, and in the men's room, there tends to be a combination of, and when I say men's room, I mean your typical bathroom that's labeled men. There tends to be a couple of stalls, a stall, two stalls, maybe a urinal or two urinals, right?
Yeah.
And so obviously, if all you have to do is take a leak, you can do that at one of the urinals. But you could still do that in one of the stalls too, which has the traditional, you know, flushing toilet in it.
You could, in the sense that it's physically possible.
Right. Yes. It's just you're saying that in your mind, that's a violation of a norm.
Indeed, yes. I feel like, look, if it's like the airport bathroom and it's like slam busy and yet somehow the stalls are open and you'd rather hit the stall than wait. Because I don't like necessarily waiting for the urinal either, because there's not a good place to do it in most bathrooms. Like you're standing behind somebody, which is not a good look.
Yeah.
Or you're standing in front of the sink, which is not a good look. Like I can make exceptions, but by and large, if I'm in the restroom and someone comes in and there's a free urinal and they just waltz right into the stall whistling, usually leave the door open and just, you know, do number one. What is that? Like, why? Come on. What are you doing? You're taking up again. Like someone who needs the stall is going to need it more than your ass is, right? Unless you're like emptying a colostomy bag or something like that, or like you've got the worst stage fright known to man, in which case I would say leave the bathroom and go to another one or something, right? If you can.
Yeah, but there's not always an option for that.
No, I get it. Which is why I try not to make a big deal out of it. And yet it's something that rankles me every single time it happens. I find myself evaluating all the time.
I have to say I'm a little surprised
that
it gets to you so much. Because I don't know. It's the kind of thing I can let go, and I'm not even sure how much of a violation of a norm it is.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. Why it bothers me is because, like, a lot of guys have bad aim, you know, or they just don't notice, whatever. Mm-hmm. And what are you doing? You're probably pissing on the seat,
yeah,
which is
that's
the
a
worst.
Good point.
If you need to go, if you need the stall and you need to sit, and someone's pissed on it, like.
Yeah, then what do you got to do? You got to, like, wipe it up or something,
yeah, right?
And yeah, that sucks. There's
about,
nothing worse than that.
That's right.
Going in to use the stall and finding it in basically an unusable state.
Absolutely.
Right?
You've got
it's clogged up, the water's high, there's piss all over the seats. Anything like that when you have to go is a terrible thing to walk into.
So I don't want to belabor, like, complaining about the bathroom, but I'll give you another one. And that's people who go to the urinal and don't flush. What is that? Because look, I get it if it's a no-flush urinal. Fine. But the people who go to the urinal and just turn around and walk away from it, and there's the urine pooling in it, you know the first thing I'm going to do is flush it. And then I'm going to go...
Do you do it for them?
Oh, absolutely.
Huh.
And if I catch somebody... Well, because most of the time, the person gets away scot-free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if I catch someone doing it, and I'm just like, I confront them about it, right?
Really?
Which is probably not the best move on my part. But I'm like, look, I'm about to flush this. Every time I see this, I'm going to flush it. I'm canceling out what you're trying to do here. If it's yellow, let it mellow. That doesn't work here. Like, I'm going to flush that.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, I don't want to go to urinal. It's bad enough, the urinal, the splatter effect, right? It's bad enough. I don't want to stand there smelling your stale urine. Like, fucking... flush the thing.
What if... Okay. So do you think that most people that do that, it's because they're going by that policy, right? It's I'm trying to save the planet kind of thing.
Maybe. I'm not going to say most people. I'm going to say I understand that impulse. And I'm also somewhat understanding of the impulse to, like, get away with it. The perfect crime. Like, I pissed and I didn't flush and no one will ever know. No, that's not true. People know. People can tell. That's the worst. Well, it's the worst to me anyway. So, I hate that. I go in there and I just think to myself, like, you're not doing anyone any favors. It'd be one thing if it's 7 o'clock at night at the office and you're the last person to pee that night, right? Like, then I could kind of see it. But it's 9:15, man.
Like, okay. So, what if the whole, like, everybody, no one, like, the whole world got into the habit of the if it's yellow, let it mellow philosophy.
So they would
we
flip
not,
it on me.
Would we not save, like, no, because I don't know. I think you're probably on the right side on this one as far as the norm is you should flush that. Especially in the United States and in a public bathroom that other people are going to go in. At your house, yeah, I don't care. It's cool.
Do whatever
and
you
also
want.
When it's sitting in we're differentiating between a urinal here because when it's sitting in water too, like in a typical toilet that has standing water in the bowl, like... It doesn't give off the same wretched smell and stuff as when it's just sitting in a urinal that doesn't have water. I know what you mean here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I got to say, like, I don't know. To me, it's like, okay, it's gross. Sure. Right? But if you're thinking that you're somehow conserving any water at all by not flushing, if you think about it for 2 seconds... If someone comes in and notices that you've done this, they're definitely just going to flush. It's a wash. It cancels out.
So you're going to flush twice before you go and then after.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to flush twice before I go. I'm going to go once and then go. And
a total,
flush.
Total yeah. twice.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And I'm not going to feel a bit bad about it either. You know, it ought to be gray water anyway that we're flushing with.
Yeah, that would solve that problem, wouldn't it? Do you... think if there's a chance that people are doing it just because they don't want to touch the handle?
Yeah,
because I think that's in my mind. I think that's probably the majority reason that they're not flushing.
Yeah, but
is simply they don't want to touch the handle because it seems germy.
But look, you're gonna wash your hands, are you not?
I agree.
You fucking ought to.
I agree. I even remember reading somewhere a justification for using your hand. This doesn't work so well at the stall because the handle or the urinal because the handle is usually pretty high up, but in the stall, using your hand versus your foot because you're about to wash your hand as soon as you leave that stall, whereas you're not going to wash the bottom of your shoe and you're going to be walking all around, including into your house on the carpet and things
yeah.
like that. Whereas your hand, you're just going to wash it. So why not touch the handle in the stall?
And if you're really that concerned about it, you can use your sleeve, your elbow, something, right? To me, it's more sanitary to use your hand.
I think using your hand's a good call.
But anyway, do we have a non-bathroom?
Well, let's while we're still on that, okay. Let me bring this up because this happened, I think it was yesterday. It wasn't today. Yeah, it was yesterday. So I'm at the gym, and it's a locker room. It's kind of like a bathroom. There's a bathroom built into it. And
they have drains in the floor.
They do. Well, okay, so this is a shower, but it's not the kind of public shower, right?
Okay.
There's like a curtain. You go in. There's a small little changing room area. And then there's the shower stall that has its own curtain, right? And surprisingly, like there's only like five showers, and they're full. So I'm behind somebody. I don't know this person, in case you know somebody knows me and they're listening. Like this wasn't, I wasn't going in behind somebody I know. I did not recognize the person that came out.
Okay.
And I went in because it was the first one that opened up, and I wasn't waiting long. Like I was waiting like maybe a minute.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
There, it's pretty quick. And so usually there is no wait, by the way. The fucking floor was just covered with water outside of the shower. And it's not the first time I've encountered this. And I got to wonder, like, I think it's from people, not drying off before they step out of the shower.
Mm.
Like, do grown adults actually maybe shower and then step out of the shower and then dry off? Is that a thing? So that you drip all over the floor?
Well, okay. I can only speak for myself, right? It's not uncommon when I take a shower here, I have a hanger on the door that I put the towel on, and I have to stop the water, step out onto a bath mat, reach across for the towel. And so the bath mat gets wet, right? I could shake off or something, I guess, or I could try to find a closer spot for the towel, but I don't really think too much about it when I do it. But the floor doesn't realistically get that wet either.
Yeah, this floor was sopping wet. I don't know how, but I've seen the floor not quite to this extent wet, but wet before.
Mm.
And so I've wondered, like this must have been, I don't know, the guy was super careless and had the shower head pointed at the curtain or something. That's the only thing I think of, even though the curtain's on the inside of the shower. But it did occur to me that I think there are people that just step outside of the shower and dry off, which seems like a weird concept to me. Because I've always just, if my hook's like away from the shower, I just grab the towel off the hook and set it on the closed toilet seat, which is generally within reach of the shower, unless you have a big-ass bathroom. But I've never had a bathroom that size.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. I can get down with that. So what is it about, and maybe that's one of the things that's not like made explicit to people, right? Like, I don't really remember being trained to dry off after a shower, but as a kid.
Yeah, is it somebody has to tell you, or is, you like, don't figure it out on your own?
Right. I'm thinking like, I don't know, I try to have close to zero impact when it comes to cleanup if I can.
Yeah.
If I know someone else is following me in anything.
That's my goal.
Yeah, right. And so maybe not everyone has received that message. I can't imagine they're doing it intentionally to be dicks, or that they're just completely careless necessarily.
It's weird. Yeah. I seriously struggle with trying to figure that out.
Yeah. I got to make a good faith assumption. Like with the urinal thing, right? I imagine a lot of people have an environmental concern that informs it. I can't imagine that that's the case here, but what would be a good reason to drip water all over the floor?
Right, there's just not one. That's why it like boggles my mind. I guess the only logic is they've never considered that there's an alternative.
Maybe it's like, I'm clean, so it's clean water anyway, and it's not a big deal. Huh.
Maybe it's like, do they do it at their house? And because it's like, hey, I ain't gotta clean this shit up, what do I care? I hope it's not that. But at home, you wouldn't do it. Because I tend to treat other places the same way I would as my house.
So, you know, the sinks at the office, people are constantly putting food in the sink.
Yeah, these are not the bathroom sinks, by the way. These are
the
kitchen area sinks.
Yeah,
which is weird to me. But yeah. I've always assumed maybe they don't really realize, because they've grown up with garbage disposals everywhere.
But there's clearly not a disposal in that sink.
I'm trying to make a good faith assumption here, man. Because I can't justify or think of another reason why somebody would do that. Like, it makes no sense.
It's the grossest thing ever to put food in the sink. I read, this is like a deep pull, I read a Garfield comic when I was a kid. One of the, you know, the little Sunday strips, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or not, it was actually a weekday strip because it was like a 3-panel Garfield. Anyway, it said, it was Garfield remarking that the only difference between, what was it? He said something to the effect of that, like, the kitchen sink is magical because it can turn haute cuisine, like good food, like fine fancy food, into garbage just by putting it in the sink. And he was so right, and it stuck with me ever since. It's like the grossest fucking thing, food in the sink.
I would not have expected that from Garfield, right?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean,
it's a way to ruin a good lasagna.
Exactly. And if anyone's going to ruminate on the ultimate fate of his food, it's going to be Garfield, I would think.
That does make sense.
But like, it's disgusting if you think about it, right? To see that food in the sink. It's not even the fact that the sink backs up. It's just as gross. I don't want to see your fucking, your little sad green bean sitting in there. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that's always weird. Like, I guess part of that is, again, maybe people would do that at their own house.
Maybe, and that...
Maybe they're just a little on the slobby side.
Right, that indicates a lack of what they call home training.
Yeah. I don't think it's like they're trying to be offensive to other people.
No.
Or it's one of those things, like I was saying, like, ah, screw this, I ain't the one that's got to clean it up.
Right.
You know, kind of thing. I hope it's not that. I guess it's better in, you know, within those two, the... lesser of those evils is, hey, I'm kind of a slob.
So how about, while we're on the subject of like the workplace sanitation norms, the classic example, microwaving fish. Have you ever met anyone who had to be told that microwaving fish at work sucks, don't do it?
No, but I've never caught anybody in the act.
Well, no, but I mean, like, even not catching them in the act, but has it ever come up, you, like, bitched about it one day or something at the bar, and a friend is like, what's the big deal with microwaving fish?
Oh.
That's never happened to anyone in the history of anything, right?
No, people know. They just do it anyway, right?
Yeah.
You have to know.
Yeah, that's a clear dick move. You know you're being a dick when you do that. How can you not?
Yeah, that's a good point, right? Because... certainly everybody understands that.
Yeah.
It's not burning popcorn, which is probably a accident, right? We've all been there, done that.
Sure.
And it's like, hey, that sucks. Because a few seconds make a big difference in a bag of microwave popcorn.
Absolutely.
But with the fish, it's different, right? Because regardless of how long you put it in there for, it's going to smell.
Yeah. And it doesn't even when I'm the one eating the fish, even when I want the fish, it doesn't smell appetizing to me. To microwave it.
Yeah, microwave fish is just wrong. Let's face it, whether you get the timing right, whether it's, I don't know, how long you cook that for, 30 seconds, if it's a, like, certainly no one's cooking fish the first time through in the microwave.
Reheating.
It's reheating it. But even that, like, is disgusting, right?
Right.
Like, it's one of those things, like, okay, you can reheat a slice of pizza in the microwave. I prefer it cold. I would rather just eat it cold. Like, than reheating it at all. But, okay, to each their own. I can see you might want to zap it for a minute or 30 seconds or whatever.
Sure.
However, fish, come on, man, right? Like, it's either eat it cold or throw it away.
I'll even, like, go out on a limb.
I can't imagine. Or maybe you could reheat it in the oven, like the toaster oven or something.
Please don't encourage that. Don't fucking.
I'm not saying do it at work. I'm even talking about at home.
Okay, yeah,
like
sure.
Who wants to fucking reheat fish in a microwave and eat it in the first place?
Never.
Let alone. I'm not talking about, like. Never. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't make that clear. Yeah. I'm venturing away from the office here and just saying, what kind of human being enjoys reheated microwave fish?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think I've ever had a. I don't think I've ever had a fish dish, and someone's going to point out the obvious and make me a liar within 10 seconds of hearing this, but I don't think I've ever had a fish dish that I wouldn't eat cold, that I wouldn't be just as happy with cold. Like leftover, I mean.
Leftover, yeah. Obviously, not the first time through.
Yeah, there's plenty of fish that I wouldn't be interested in eating cold if it was, like, just now prepared cold. You know, some fish just doesn't work as sushi or whatever, but... I've never had, like, a cooked fish dish that I could not then enjoy cold.
Right, it's fine. There's certain things that are just fine the next day cold.
Yeah, right. And, I mean, finish your fish. Realistically, how big of a fish are you cooking here? Like, just eat your fucking fillet or whatever.
That's a valid point too, man.
Yeah, and look, you're not fooling me. You're bringing in fucking whitefish. Like, it's not that big a deal. Just eat it cold.
Well, even if it was a good cut, that's even more of a reason to just eat it cold than ruining it in a microwave,
is
it
not? Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not putting your sashimi grade, is that right? Is that,
sashimi.
Yeah, okay. tuna, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's usually used for sushi anyway, right? So that tuna would be eaten cold.
You can have tuna steaks.
Okay. Oh, yay.
Yeah.
Good for me. So I think that brings us to something, though, that maybe we need to kind of touch base on. There's a difference between... violating a norm that affects other people versus something that really doesn't. Like, we all kind of have our own quirks and stuff, maybe. Like, back to the bathroom, right? Some of it's germs, right? Like, it might, I would consider it probably a norm to put down some kind of paper on the seat. However, in most people, because I'm guessing most people agree. So if you don't do that, you're probably in violation of a norm, but no one gives a crap because ultimately, yeah, who cares?
Your private experience.
Right. I don't know if you do it or don't. And if you think that that's fine or acceptable to not do it, whether you're in the minority or not, it doesn't affect us. Right. So I think it has to be something in reality that does affect other people.
Even if it's only, in the sense that it's changing their perception of you.
Well, yeah, sure. I guess you could feel strongly about that and be like, there's no point in putting down paper on the seat or something like that. And then if you say that to your friends, you know, they're probably going to be like, whoa, dude, like, we can't be friends anymore. I'm sorry.
And that goes back to last episode, I think it was, when we were talking about how difficult it is to change your habits and stuff. And part of that, I think, is because our brains value consistency in the behavior of people around us. And so if someone violates a norm, even if it doesn't directly impact you or anyone in the history of anything, like I said, it's still breaking their sort of consistent mental image of you or mental model of you. You got an example of something like that?
Well, we've probably all had a conversation before about cell phone usage in the bathroom. Man, this is only going to be a bathroom talk today, isn't it?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So, but right, like we've all had that conversation, whether... Yeah. Some people are clearly on the side of, hell no, you don't take your phone out of your pocket. Maybe you don't even take it into a public bathroom with you, right? And other people are kind of like, eh, whatever. You know?
Yeah. But I don't think it's ever been like a split for me in a conversation with people where it's like, I no longer respect you. Suddenly I think you're disgusting or something like that.
Yeah. Well, there was, so this came up I think it was yesterday I was reading it. I feel like it was maybe on, it might have been part of the fun bag. Did we talk about this? So, yeah. So before I start rambling here, like the Deadspin fun bag, if we haven't mentioned that before, you're aware of it. Some of our listeners probably are. It's
adequateman.deadspin.com updates every Tuesday, I think.
Drew McGarry puts it out. He's got a sub going right now, but I like it, right? Generally, like it's, and for me, it's been a little bit of an inspiration even for this show because there's these questions that kind of sometimes are a little absurd, sometimes are somewhat serious, that get asked by people that email in. And Drew is usually the guy that gets to answer these questions. And oftentimes we, Jonathan and I, kind of will take it the next step further because he doesn't always, usually it's a paragraph or so, replies to
these. He doesn't go deep enough.
Right. Sometimes there's a lot of extra... extra meat on that
There's
bone.
Meat on the bone, yeah. And so what was it this week that...
I don't know if it was on there or not, but it was about concerts and kind of norms when you're at a concert, like the concert-going experience, a musical concert, right? And somebody had said something like, there was like something like one of those, this is cool, this is not cool type things to do when you're at a concert. And one of the things that came up was, if you're tall, let shorter people in front of you. And the comment section on the article was... specifically like, no, like, fuck that. If I got there, I'm taller. And if I got there early enough, and obviously this goes for not an assigned seat type thing, but like more like a music hall type venue, right? If I got there early enough and I'm in front of the stage, why should I let somebody that gets there later have a better view, get closer, right? Because if you're further back, just because you're tall, you can still see, but you're further back. So it doesn't, the depth is changed, right? So you want to be up close because you want to be able to see. And I'll agree with that. I fall on the side of, you were there, I'm a short person too. So if you were there early and you got there before me, you know what? I'm going to try my best not to stand behind you, but at the same time, I respect that. You beat me there, take your spot. Now, if you want to let me get in front of you, I will gladly be like, oh, thank you, kind sir or ma'am.
But is this a good example? Because that is affecting other people, is the thing.
Oh, I thought we were just going for an example where people were torn, because this seemed like a pretty split thing. Well, and I don't think there was ever a clear...
But I mean torn on something that doesn't actually really have that much of an impact on someone else. Torn because it threatens your image of someone else. You know what I mean? Like for instance, I'll give you one. This is a little bit shitty of me, and I don't feel strongly about it. But I do judge people who are not organ donors. Well, okay, if you like legit can't donate your organs, that's a different story. But if you make the choice to not be an organ donor because, you know, your fucking cousin told you that it means that EMTs will let you die or some dumb shit like that, yeah. I judge the hell out of you. Like, you're not going to need them shits. It's the easiest thing. Just check the box. You know what I mean?
You should at least research that, right? And see how valid that, if that's a true thing, right? If somebody tells you that and you're making a decision, that's what I'm going to disrespect more, is that you didn't take the extra time.
Sure.
That you just believed somebody, sure. Right? And I guess in the world of Facebook fake news, which we won't get into too much, I think people do this kind of thing a lot, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I lose respect here, is that, like, yeah. Come on, man. You didn't take a few seconds to do a couple extra Google searches and find what seems like a credible source here to see if this is actually real, you know? Because I've heard people say that. Well, we probably all have. I mean, you didn't just make that up right now, right?
No, I did not. No.
Right, exactly. So, but, you know, if you do, if you really say, before you make that decision based upon what you heard, take a little extra time. And that's where I lose a little respect for somebody, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I also don't respect them if they're like, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses who feel like they're not permitted to donate the organs or whatever and don't even donate blood and shit like that. Like, my God. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I have a little bit more respect in the sense that you probably, like, it goes back to what we were talking about last week, in a sense that, like, it's hard to break away from that. They were potentially raised that way,
yes.
And it's hard to switch out of that. So if that's the beliefs that have been instilled in you from potentially birth,
mm-hmm.
then I can at least understand it. I can make an exception for that.
If that comes up in conversation, though, I'm going to press it and say you need to at least be open to re-examining shit like that.
Well, sure, but people should be open to re-examining virtually everything, right? Until you found that, hey, like, no, this is just a fact. There's no reason I have to. But okay, these things generally aren't facts. They're very subjective.
Okay, so I didn't mean to, like, get into life and death and challenging people's religious beliefs and shit. Is there something a bit lower, more low stakes that we can highlight as far as I look at you differently now that I know that you've broken this, you know, this unspoken social law?
Well, here, I'm going to circle back around here for just a second.
Not back to a bathroom.
No, back to the concert.
Okay.
And tell you, this occurred to me when I'm reading the article, and I'll admit it, and I told my wife, and she laughed at me very much, and I don't know how much respect I lost, maybe a tiny bit. So I said, hey, I'm short, obviously, right? I'm going to, and I'm not kidding, I actually did a search on Amazon for this, right? I'm going to buy myself a pair of platform shoes so that I can gain an extra 2 inches. No one's going to know, right? If I wear those bitches to a concert, like, I'm not going to try to walk in on stilts and be 6 inches taller, right?
Sure.
I think I'm about 5'9". 2 inches is going to make a difference for me, right? Like, it's not going to tower me in front of... It's not even going to really put me, I don't think, above the average, you know, male height in the United States. I don't think.
Maybe. What is the average male height in the United States? Please write in at noexpertspod, mailbag at noexpertspodcast.com.
I feel like it's 5.
Oh, Jesus.
It might be 5'11". So, in which case, okay, a couple extra inches is going to put me right about there. Anyway, is that a dick move?
To wear platform shoes?
Yeah.
So you get a better view?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
No, I think you're good, man.
Am I good on doing this?
Yeah.
I mean, let's not judge me for, you know, my choice in foot attire. I'm not Disco Stew here.
Put it,
however.
Well, I mean, look, you're not wearing a hat that blocks people's views.
Right. That'd be worse.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't even benefit me.
Right. Right. So I think you're good.
Like, I usually take the stovepipe off, but the 10-gallon before I go into the door. I check that shit at the coat check.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Sure. I imagine Lincoln did the same thing at the what do you call it? Ford Theater.
Oh, you know? You went there.
Well, the only person that I can think of who's known for wearing a stovepipe hat, yeah. Other than the fucking New Yorker mascot or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That guy's a monocle too, right?
Yeah, he's got a monocle.
Wow.
Or does he? Yeah, he's got a monocle. Anyway.
Oh, there. Speaking of which, doesn't the Monopoly mascot guy has a monocle and a top hat too, no?
Yeah, top hat though, not a stovepipe.
Oh, yeah, there's a difference. Yeah. Yeah, it's basically the taller version of...
Uncle Moneybags, isn't it, in that his name?
It could be.
I think so.
Yeah.
Terrible game, Monopoly.
Monopoly is the worst.
Hey, here's one that I don't mind people breaking from. This bullshit putting a jackpot on free parking. It makes it more fun, to a degree.
Yeah.
But it's not. That's not the game. And if I don't play it that way, like, fuck you for having a problem with it.
It is funny that I did read something not that long ago that apparently the majority of people don't play by the real Monopoly rules, and if you did, the game would actually go fairly quickly.
Yeah,
because and that it drags on because we're actually all playing by the wrong rules.
Yeah, it's something like all of the things, all the properties have to be bought, like they go out for auction if no one is willing to buy them or something like that.
Yeah, things like that. Like there's but it's like, I would say ain't nobody got time for that, but apparently that would save time.
Maybe.
I just don't want to read the rules.
Maybe. I kind of wanted to, back when we still did the board game group at work, I kind of wanted to win a game and pick Monopoly as the next game we played. But I know they would have shouted me down, man.
Candyland, anyone?
Shoots and ladders.
Automatic bubble.
You were just going to, well, that was Trouble. Trouble.
Of course, yeah.
Just listing board games now. Have we exhausted this topic? I feel like we could keep going.
Yeah, go for it. Do we have some time?
We're hitting about 41 minutes.
Okay.
So normally we try to...
Jeez, that went by fast. Yeah, that's really an episode. Did.
I told you though...
We should just do more bitching every week.
Yeah, we should just bitch about the bathroom every week. Every other week.
People like this, right?
I don't know.
Well, let us know, I guess. Numbers. If you hated this and you need us to get back to... space travel or time travel or whatever. I keep saying we haven't done an episode involving the apocalypse yet. I mean, we've covered time travel and,
sure,
and aliens and stuff, so I guess someday we'll have to get there. But we can't do zombies.
Do you know what?
We just
can't. Do you know what bothers me about, and it doesn't really bother me, but I can't help but think about it every time I hear it, is when people say the apocalypse, they're not actually talking about the apocalypse.
You're right, we're not. I just did it.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, wham, did I break a norm?
No, you didn't.
Just a pet peeve of Jonathan's.
The norm is to, yeah, right, exactly. The norm is to say the apocalypse as a shorthand for like the end of society as you know it.
Right.
Right. But, you know, it really means like a revelation, you know, a future calamity or what have you. And in fact, a specific revelation, right? Anyway, yeah, there's probably more stuff. We could pad this out a little bit. I don't mind keep going. I ain't got nowhere to be. I mean, I live here. I'm home already.
We got into a quick idiom, so I guess, yeah. What do you got?
So, driving. There's something that really bugs me about driving that I think should be a norm, and it's not. Or maybe it is, and I don't know the right way to do it. So, there's a light up here onto Durley. Where there's it's an intersection, four-way intersection, and it's controlled by a light.
Okay.
And as you're leaving our neighborhood, there is a right turn lane, and then there's a straight and left turn lane. And there's no controlled left. So there's very commonly people who want to cross over Durley to come into our neighborhood, and there's very commonly people who want to turn left onto Durley. And if I'm going straight, they have to wait. And some people struggle with this, right? Because, you know, if I'm going straight at the light, I got the right of way over the person turning left on the oncoming traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation I find myself in, people don't leave the neighborhood nearly as often as they try to turn left onto Durley from the other direction. Have I lost anyone? Is anyone asleep right now?
I think like this is maybe a little hard to follow.
Yeah, I know.
Unless
but,
you're
okay, so, so basically, let me boil it down. I find myself where I'm sitting at the light, and it's about to be green, and it's not a controlled left. Most of the people opposite me are going to be making a left turn, but they have to yield to me going straight. But there's no reliable way I can indicate my intent to turn straight.
So they're assuming you're not going straight.
That's right. They're probably assuming, oh, this guy's turning left, and he's just not using his indicator. But that's not true. Like, yeah. I intend to go straight, and I don't have a way to tell you that I'm about to go straight. At least not one that I think would be universally recognizable or even reliably recognizable.
Well, it should be the fact that you don't have a blinker on.
Indeed,
yes,
right.
That means you're going straight.
Right, but people, you know, they commonly don't use their turn signals, obviously.
Which is the bigger violation of norms.
I would agree with that. And yet I'm at the mercy. I can't change what other people are doing.
Right.
Right. So I tried something a little different. I don't think anyone noticed. But the last time I was in this position, I was sitting there. I felt like it was clear as a bell. Like people could see me. So I just pointed straight ahead over the dash.
Yeah.
Like a called shot. Like, I'm going straight, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, figure it out. Wait for me, you know? I don't think it made any difference.
No. People, I don't think they're really paying that much attention.
Yeah. Yeah. But is there a better solution? Probably not.
No.
Like, what am I going to do? Blink, like, flash my headlights? Then it's like, oh, you're warning me there's a cop nearby, right? Or you're warning me that my gas camp is open.
The flashing headlight thing can mean so many different things. Yeah, it's like, that doesn't really tell me anything. Like, it are my brights on? Mm. like, is that what you're trying to say? It's the middle of the day. Yeah, I have no fucking clue.
Do people give a shit about having their brights on in the city? Like, I flash my lights at people and no one ever does anything about it around here.
No one doesn't. Yeah, but it's annoying. Like, you're blinding me. Thanks for blinding me.
But, you know, a lot of the time I'm in a vehicle that's relatively low compared to the high trucks around me or high SUVs, and their low beams still hit me in the eyes.
Man, you chose to drop that Impala. That's on you.
So what you're saying is I should hit the switches on them.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
Oh, yeah. Flip the switches. That'll... I don't know. It'll at least distract them.
It'll distract me.
You're going to hop through the intersection.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about if you're dining out with people? The norm is that you order your food and you consume your food and you are taking your leftovers home. And if anyone is welcome to try it or anyone is welcome to take your leftovers, they have to wait. You have to explicitly give them permission or invite them to, right? Like, hey, do you want to try this? Right? Or, hey, would you like my leftovers? Versus people generally shouldn't say, could I have a bite of that? Or do you mind if I take your leftovers?
I would agree. The leftover thing, especially the, hey, well, excuse me, mind if I try a bite of that? Or kind of thing.
I think that's okay.
That wouldn't be quite as weird. Yeah. But the, can I have your leftovers?
Yeah.
Yeah, that, no. That's super weird. No one does that, right? Yeah, have you encountered this?
It's happened once or twice, and it's not been the same person. It's like real isolated.
Okay.
And it was mostly back when I was, you know, more of a broke college student and shit that other people would, because, you know, like attracts like or whatever.
Yeah.
You're hanging out with a bunch of other broke bums, and it's...
There used to be an app for that.
Oh, yeah. You told me about this.
I forgot what it was called, though.
No, it was... wasn't it called, like...
You downloaded it.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. It was like the thing where you said, hey, I got leftovers if anyone wants to come over and take them.
Yeah.
Right?
And people could claim your leftovers and show up. Like, if you're, like, sitting outside on a patio somewhere at a restaurant in town eating, and you're not going to finish that last slice of your pie, then yeah. Like, I'm not taking this with me. And which seems like a pretty decent idea, as a matter of fact, since sometimes, like, I don't know, it's a hot day. Like, I got nowhere to put this. I can't go take it back to the car. I'm not going home. Like, it's just going to go bad anyways. And
yeah.
You want this? Like, you can't just shout that out in public. You know, sometimes there's, you know, a homeless person around you could offer it to maybe, and that's fine. Or that might even ask you. However, you know, I don't know if that app made it or not.
Probably not, man.
Yeah, it probably didn't. There's probably not enough
demand for it. We can't remember
the name,
so.
That's okay. I can't remember the name of a lot of things.
What about, have you ever been in a situation where you had to violate a norm because the alternative was unacceptable? Like, if you didn't violate this norm, if you didn't step out of the box, like, it was going to be bad?
Nothing comes immediately to mind. However, I'm sure that I have, right? Do you have an example or an idea that you're thinking of?
Yeah, so this one time I had this job that entailed a lot of driving. Right. And also wearing a suit. So I was all the time driving around wearing a suit. And I mentioned the suit because I think it's the only thing that saved me or helped me in this circumstance, besides the color of my skin, which also came in handy. Basically, I was a long way from home in the middle of nowhere, like from civilization, and really, really, really had to go and not pull over and hit the tree line. Had to go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the next kindly house I spotted, I pulled into the driveway, I went up to that door, and I knocked, and I said, listen, I'm terribly sorry to bother you. Can you help me out? You know, like, I realize how bad this is. I'm sorry if I'm making you uncomfortable here. Feel free to say no, but for God's sake, can I use your restroom, please? Right? And to this person's credit, she allowed me to do it, and I tried to leave things better than I found them. profuse apology, but got the fuck out there as quickly as possible. Like, I mean, she did me a solid. You know what I'm saying?
That's, I'm surprised you did that. I don't know if I could make myself do that.
I mean,
I don't know what the alternative is.
Well, look, what I hated most was imposing on someone, obviously, right?
It's tough to ask because basically, you know, I'm coming in for one thing only. It's not pleasant.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to go blow up your restroom. And
it's going to be bad.
Yeah, and then I'm out of here.
Yeah, yeah. You're not even getting anything out of this interaction.
Did you consider him, I don't know, offering to pay?
So I didn't have any cash on me, but I mean, I would have if I'd had. I would have been like, hey, real sorry about this here for your trouble. You know, like, what are you going to do? I feel like most people would refuse it.
Yeah. I would have slammed the door on you faster than I did with those black-eyed kids that asked to use my telephone that one time.
Man, that's kind of, is that a deep cut? Do people know about the black-eyed kids?
We'll save that for a different episode. Okay. Urban Legends episode.
Yeah, well,
Halloween.
Well, that's fantastic. I love it. So you've never done that, though? You've never, like, hit up a stranger to say, could I use your bathroom?
No.
No?
No, I haven't. But yeah. I haven't been in need, thankfully.
I try to...
Quite that bad.
Well, you try to manage it. You try not to put yourself in that position.
Yeah, I guess I've been fortunate enough to... I mean, obviously we've all been in some pretty close calls, I'd say.
Yeah.
But I guess I've been lucky in the fact that I've made it to some shady gas station. Or I guess if I was really in the middle of nowhere, like, did you consider just like, is there any open land around...
It was a time-sensitive issue. Well, here's the problem, right? I have since started carrying in the trunk a roll of toilet paper.
Yeah.
Right? You got to. Like, I realized the wisdom of it.
That's not a bad idea. I've never done that. I mean, I do have things that I generally carry in the trunk, like jumper cables.
Yeah, sure.
But this is just as big of an emergency when you need it.
So, let me give you, like, the best piece of advice here. Get yourself a roll of nice toilet paper and... tie it up in a grocery bag, a plastic grocery bag, and throw it in your trunk. That shit is going to save your life one day. No doubt.
If you're in a suit, though, you're probably wearing an undershirt underneath your button-up.
No. I mean, yes. A V-neck, as a matter of fact.
Right. Yes. But, a V-neck, an A-neck, something like that.
I couldn't.
Really?
I
could easily
it.
Part with that V-neck Hanes t-shirt.
No, I mean, look.
Easily.
Look, I get it. All right, we'll leave that. Yeah. We'll leave that aside.
We'll revisit this. But I think we definitely have. We like to revisit a lot of things, obviously. And I think norms, unless our viewer or listeners have a problem with it, will probably become a revisited topic upon occasion.
Well, look, even if you have a problem with it, I would say go fuck yourself. Listen to one of the other 10,000 podcasts in the world. And there's there's going to be 100 different episodes where we don't do that shit anyway. And besides, like, there's something for everyone. And look, we said when we started out to do this, there's a certain kind of audience. We don't know what it is, but there's a certain kind of audience for the type of show that we're going to do. And if gentle listener, if you're not part of that audience, I'm not going to miss you personally. Like, I encourage you to listen. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to share it with people. But you guys have not been giving us enough ideas to dictate the terms
in
of the show.
In case you're not aware, it's mailbag@noexpertspodcast.com. Or hit us up on Twitter @noexpertspod, no cast. You can go to our website, noexpertspodcast.com, if you want to, but there you're just going to find links to the episodes to listen to.
Yeah.
Which you're probably getting from whatever podcasting app you use anyway. But yeah, sure, go to our website. And I will give credit. I don't remember your buddy's name, but he did hit us up on Twitter, and it's a good thing. I actually like seeing when people reply to something we've been talking about. He mentioned the fact that, like, as a kid... one of those, like, kind of carnival, like, hit the bell with the hammer thing, get the thing to rise to the top and ding the bell. One of those, I don't know what that's called, like the strongman competition thing. And, like, grown men couldn't do it, but as a kid, he could do it. And it took him a while to realize, hey, that was rigged. Like, there's some way to just, like, you know, make it easier when a kid steps to the plate, right?
Yeah, so I'll own up to that. Mike was the one who told us that story there. Look, I'm gonna reevaluate. I've been thinking about it. I had previously said in that episode that I didn't think that there was any real harm in letting a kid win and that sometimes it was the right thing to do. But Mike's experience has changed my mind a bit because I think there is a certain amount of danger in a kid not realizing until it's far too late as an adult that, you know, something that they took pride in was actually rigged. I think it's important to eventually come clean with kids and to come clean with them about the sort of the easy wins that you handed them before they come of age.
But I think he said he was glad in that the experience kind of overshadowed or was greater than the fact that he didn't realize until later.
No, I think he said his embarrassment overshadowed the benefit.
I thought it was more like the benefit, because then I'll give it to somebody. Hey, I'll defer to somebody that has better experience with it. I can't think of a time that, like, I mean, sure, probably my dad let me win at a game of basketball in the driveway or something like that. But I also probably realized it. If not, whatever. I do now. Thanks. That's cool. I appreciate it. But at the same time, like, I don't have anything quite to that extent, you know, where it's like, hey, like, I really felt good about this. Like, I, you know, yeah. So I'll defer to somebody that has better or more direct experience with something like that. But it was cool to hear. And since you were talking about listeners and not giving us feedback, thanks for the feedback. I did like that one. Now come up with some topics.
I would folks. Like. All right, so I've reevaluated my stance on being hostile to listeners, and I feel that even if you don't enjoy the show, I'd appreciate it if you listen to it loudly in public because someone else might enjoy it.
Or mention it in comment sections of things you're reading online.
Put it in your forum signature.
Yeah, retweet it or whatever you do.
Put it in your email signature.
Yeah, that you send to like your clients and people at your job. Yeah. Hey, maybe not your work email. Maybe your personal email. Yeah, I don't give a crap. Put it in your damn work email.
Sent from my iPhone. Also, check out Weirdo Experts.
Why isn't that in my signature?
I know, Jesus. Yeah. We don't have very strong branding.
Yeah, we're no experts when it comes to marketing.
I think that's a good place to stop then.
Yeah, we'll see you in 2 weeks, episode 9.
Absolutely.
No idea what it's going to be about, but we'll see you then.
I have a pretty good idea what it's going to be about. Can we commit?
Oh, no. I don't like that. Okay. Something better could come up in 2 weeks.
All right. We're going to keep them on tenter hooks.
Hell to the no.
All right. Thanks for listening.